Welcome to the Parasocial Social Club, where you know everything about us and we know nothing about you. I am Jenny.
I'm Kevin.
Hello.
Hi. Cool.
Cool.
Yep, that's the intro.
That's the intro.
Okay, so let's start the episode, and I'm going to talk about my balls for an extended period of time.
Oh my, love it.
Okay,
lovely,
yep,
lovely.
Yep, yep. Okay, cool.
We're starting strong.
Yes, and before anyone tunes out, this is not a man being like, cool, my genitals. This is a story about men's health.
Yeah, it's,
I'm framing it in that way. It's men's health, and therefore it's serious, and it's, you know,
really
not funny at all.
In ourselves to, start this strong.
This is going to be a very nuanced and sensitive take about
balls?
These nuts. Yeah. Okay, so this happened, I think, last year.
Yeah. It did, actually.
I basically, one night I was feeling some discomfort in my testicles, which is not something that I'd experienced before.
Like pain?
Like a dull ache of some kind.
Oh.
It was like a low dull ache, and I thought, that's a bit weird. I'll monitor that. And then the next day, I was in like crippling pain. Like I couldn't walk properly. I had to like get out, and I had to walk slowly.
Oh my gosh, that's scary.
Yeah, I was in a lot of pain. I was terrified. Like, I went to the men's sexual health clinic in my area.
Great.
Shout outs to sexual health clinics.
Yes.
They're heroes.
So good.
Yeah,
important.
Well. Yeah. And also, I just want to, quick note as well, sincere note, men's sexual health clinic, not just for queer men, straight men should go there as well.
Awesome.
Like, if anything, they're the specialists,
love
right?
It. Yeah.
So I went there. I took an Uber there because I was like, oh, ambulance. And then so I got there. I was just like doing like, couldn't focus well. Just really deep pain. Went there. They inspected, and I was like, as well. Look, rationally, I know shouldn't be embarrassed about these types of things because health is important. But also, fundamentally as well, there's a part of me that was just like, I'm a bit embarrassed about you know, there's still some shyness.
Yeah.
But all the staff were so professional, so sensitive, much like my balls. and they checked it out, and they're like, we can't really detect anything immediately from like our kind of like preliminary testing and that type of thing. We recommend if the pain is this severe, go to an ER. Like, they were like, did you engage in any kind of like risky behaviors? I was like, no. And they're like, okay, all right, so that kind of, that thread of explanation, you know, got snipped, much like my balls. No, but I went to the ER, and I was in a lot of pain, and I was like, I'm in deep, deep pain, and also because the public health system is also, you know, under pressure, I, you know, kind of wait a couple of hours, got some painkillers, I was very worried it was testicular torsion. Testicular torsion. So the way that the testicle sits, there's like a thread, which is like, it's what connects your testicle to the rest of your body.
Yeah.
And what testicular torsion is, that the testicle can spin around itself and constrict itself and like lose blood flow. You can lose your testicle that. Like, I was very, very, very worried about the reproduction health of it because my partner and I want to have kids.
Yeah.
And this was a very serious thing.
Oh.
Remember earlier when I said this wasn't funny and it was very serious? Well, I was right. I saw a sonographer, I saw a nurse, I saw a junior urologist who didn't know what was going on. I saw a senior urologist. This is all over the span of like 10 hours.
Yeah.
And like my partner's at work and still like texting me when she can at work and be like, hey baby, are you okay? That type of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And like, basically at the start of the day, I was like really worried. Like, I was really embarrassed. I showed my genitals to six strangers.
That's so many people. That's terrifying.
Yeah.
Oh my God. It's like, yes, you're right. Like, they're all medical professionals and they handle it, but it's still like, oh my God, this is a very vulnerable part of me.
It was that at the start of it, but the first professional I showed, I was like, oh, and by the sixth, I was starting to get like some sort of weird thrill from it. No. But like, I did an ultrasound, nothing abnormal detected. I did find like a lump near my balls, but that was just like an unrelated pimple. That was just a cyst.
Oh,
I was like, it's completely unrelated.
You say lump, I'm like, fuck.
Yeah, because I was like, I'm getting pain, I've got a lump, I'm so scared. Like, I was very, very scared. Like, terrifying.
Yeah.
A lot of pain as well. I did get some sandwiches in the ER, which is nice.
I love that this makes it into the story.
Yeah, no, if you're ever in an ER for a long time and you just want something to break the time, you want something to look forward to, ask them for a sandwich at some point, or a Panadol.
Like, hey, I showed my genitals to like 6 different people. It was like really, really painful. Oh, sandwiches.
Ham and cheese, please. Yeah. And so, like, thank God that, like, you know, it wasn't testicular torsion. It was, they actually didn't know what it was. They couldn't tell what it was. And, like, I had this moment where I was talking to the senior urologist, because the junior urologist, he didn't know what was going on. Everyone felt my balls and my dick quite thoroughly. And the junior urologist didn't know what it was. The senior urologist came along as well, and she was like, well, we're still actually not quite sure, but we're just going to hold and monitor you for the next bit or so, and that's totally fine. Mm-hmm. And I consented to that. And then I told her at one point, I was just like, look, doctor, in my panic, I had a very, very dumb thought this morning, which was like, because it's located in my balls, maybe there's like a blockage or something. So to kind of test what the fuck was going on, I did jack off.
Oh. Like
not in front of the doctor. No, just in the privacy of my own home, like a sane adult. I was panicking. You don't understand. Like it was amazing that I managed to like.
Wait,
get
so
it out.
Was this before you saw?
Before
all
the I specials? Went to the sexual health clinic, I was not in the Uber on the way.
Like, I know you're trying to, it's for my health.
Yes. But it was for my health. Wait, but it's also for my health. But it's for my health. But I was in this panic and kind of like, I did like the most anxious wank of my life. Sorry to anyone who's related to me listening to this. I come. But then like, I said this to the senior urologist. I was like, look, in my dumb moment, like I'm not a doctor at all. Like I thought maybe because it's to do with this area, if I do this thing with my area, maybe that will confirm something or not. And she asked me, well, how did it feel? And I said, yeah, pretty good actually. And she laughed. And I think that's the ultimate moral of this story. Always be crushing. Doesn't matter if it's new gear or old gear, always crush, always be funny.
Bits, even when you're in horrendous pain.
Yes. And after the day, so like I left the hospital, my partner came and picked me up. I was still walking a bit funny just because of the pain. I still don't know to this day what happened, but I do know that on that day of, I was okay apart from the pain. And then I had a thought, like last week.
Yeah.
The days before this whole ER visit.
Yeah.
I bought new pants that were quite tight.
Oh my gosh.
And then the doctors were like, well, have you cut off circulation to any of the part of your body? I was like, no, I don't think so. Because I'm just wearing pants.
Yes.
And like again, this is not confirmed. I don't mean to do my own research, but it is entirely possible.
100%.
Yeah, I just like crushed off, like I cut off circulation to my pelvis because I just had pants that were too tight.
And now you got to wear loose pants. You should wear loose pants.
I've broken these pants in.
Moral of the story, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's you know, it's like that. It's like, you know, people who eat beetroot and then they think they're pissing blood and they're like, oh, I need to go to the ER. And it's just, you've just eaten beetroot. Take whatever you want from this story. I'm not really sure. I just felt the need to share it. I'm not sure why. Yeah, yes, I've now successfully managed to talk about my genitals at length for content.
Welcome to the pod.
Welcome to the pod. Any questions?
It was a very comprehensive story about your balls.
Thank you. They're very comprehensive balls.
Because you at some point also said that there would be a possibility that you'd have to get your balls, if they cut it off.
Oh, yeah. If it was testicular torsion, I could have lost at least one testicle. But if I were to lose a testicle, this is something I learned, actually. Thank you for reminding me to bring it up. Is you can actually get a prosthetic one put in. If you lose a testicle, you can get a prosthetic one put in.
Is it like a, this is such a silly question, like, is it like a boob job, like a permanent thing? Or is it like a, you hang it there?
You can take it, like, it's like on a carabiner? Like, oh yeah, I keep my nut on the back of my ute, like truck nuts, and I just pop it in whenever I'm going out of town. No, it's kind of like, it's just like a silicone implant, and it just sits there. Okay. Because as well, like I did ask the doctor as well, I was just like, okay, I can get it implanted. What if I want like 5 put in, which he had never heard before, which it was a risky joke because I'm like, surely this guy's heard everything about urology, like urology. But I was like, no, this guy has never heard the I want 6 fake nuts in my ball sack joke.
Always be crushing.
But but I was thinking about it, like, if I did lose my testicle, I think I would like a prosthetic one.
Would you, this is so weird, does it come with like, do you want the shaved ball or the hairy? You know what I mean?
It's the internal of the scrotum. It's internal. It's the floating.
But your skin is still there.
Yeah. My nut sack is still there. Right, it's just so got one nut instead of two.
It's like a boob job. All right. Well, I wanted to chat to you a bit about
Segway.
How do you move on from balls? No, sport. How you move on. So yes. I don't know, remember in like high school, like I went to an all-girls school. I don't want to see if this is like a university.
It's very obvious was the energy that you have.
Yeah. And also speaking of energy, there are so many of my friends that are like, I can tell whether you went to, like among women and stuff, whether you went to a private school or whether you went to a public school. And I am apparently very public school. Like they're like, you're public school. I don't know what that is. I don't know how, but anyway.
Yeah.
So we had like sports that we would get to pick and elect and stuff.
Yeah, you had like a shopping list of sports.
Yes. And there are so many sports that are like non-sports. Like we had 10-pin bowling as a sport. And then as our exercise, we would go to the mall, we would go to Westfield, and then we would play with all of our friends bowling. And that was like our exercise for the week.
Was time zone also a sport you could elect?
We would go immediately
just throwing and baskets and getting like soft, fluffy toys.
Yeah, DDR.
Far out. That's good cardio though. But that's so funny.
And lawn bowls as well. That was another one.
So with my school, I just picked lawn bowls because I was like this depressed kid who like hated sport. Yeah. And like, I was just like, yeah, I just don't.
Sounds like
I
me.
Just, yeah. I just want to like just chill out. Like I never learned any of the techniques. I would just roll them one way and then roll them the other. And that was my pretense to just kind of like hang out and just talk to other guys who also didn't care about sport.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. We had a very similar sort of thing.
Did you do lawn bowls?
Yeah, I did. I did all of the, cause I,
we again, both did lawn bowls in high school. Yeah. Fuck.
I was not into sports, was not into anything athletic during high school.
Yeah.
But I would pick anything that was not a real sport.
Yeah.
So yes, lawn bowls was one of my top mm-hmm. selections.
If there's too many people going for that one, you have to go to your second choice.
Yes. Ice skating was also one of our sports as well.
It's so funny. That's so funny you say that because ice skating is really hard.
It is really hard. And then you'd have to basically like this. It's not like the school had a particular program. Like you would just pay the $10 or whatever and then skate. And then it's a free time at Macquarie Shopping Centre where you just skate around. and then what else did we have that was really, oh my God, there was one where it was, jazzercise or
Zumba.
You do it with a bar, like, but it would be like kind of like step, like bit of dancing in there as well. But you were meant to do it with weights, and my whole entire group just never put the weights on it, and we just did everything with the bar.
So like a bar, like a horizontal bar, or like so it's kind of like it's like upper body and cardio or something.
Yes.
Like, there's so many. I swear, every couple of years there's this new gimmick of like, guys, we're having like a new exercise, like F45 or whatever. I feel like there's just so many ways. Like there was like Oz aerobics or whatever. There's how many ways?
Yeah, a Zumba. Yeah, that was
why.
A phrase, yeah.
Why does that? I'm so confused by that. But like,
I don't understand fitness in general.
Yeah. Well, the thing is though is that it's really interesting because now I've like done like a complete 180. I'm one of those like nerds who realized that like everyone at the gym is just a muscle nerd. There's no such thing as jocks. Jocks and nerds. That whole thing that doesn't exist. That's a false dichotomy. Well, like, yeah, kind of like everyone is a nerd and everyone is kind of a jock in their own way. Yeah. It's very yin and yang.
Yeah.
But it's just kind of like, for me, it's just like, as a primary schooler, like, I had, like, severe asthma and, like, asthma was, like, part of my identity as a kid. And it was, like, pretty bad. It would mean that I couldn't run like the other kids do. Mm. But I kind of, now, I love going to the gym. I love exercising. I'm not, like, 5 days a week. I'm not massive yet. Like, in terms of, like, I did, like, a nerdy, like, analysis is like strengths, weaknesses, like how much does physio cost and blah, 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 blah. It's just like, it just works out better for me.
Yeah, I love that you've done like fitness in like you've done like a SWOT analysis.
Yeah.
Of like why you should be fit and you're like, ah, yes, this pays off.
Yeah. Well, Healthy Harold was right.
Yeah, true.
Healthy Harold would never lead you astray.
No, Healthy Harold was the stuff,
yeah. But for you, like, you just do like home gym, right?
Home, there is a specific person that I watch. Her name is Pamela Reif, and she does 10 minutes, which is a great length of just high intensity interval.
Like cardio?
Cardio, yeah.
Like just like yoga mat in your living room, that type of thing.
Yeah, I can't do like, if you were to go like, okay, here's a gym routine, you know, 10 sit-ups, 10 push-ups.
It feels like homework.
It feels like homework. So I try to find ways to make it fun.
This is a pro exercise podcast, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
Find what works for you. We're not giving any medical advice. We're not qualified to.
No.
We're not doctors. We look like medicine students. But that's just because we're Asian. But yeah, like, I think one of the major differences between me as a teenager and me now, let me know if you feel the same, is just like my relationship with my body.
Yeah, I'm still pretty unfit, but I'm very happy for you, Kevin.
Oh, thank you. If I'm not talking about fitness or not, I'm just talking about like, you know, it's kind of like, you know, like, not to be like, oh, Kevin is mentally healthy again. Sorry, I've done this bit by accident. Sorry.
So many times.
Oh,
so
my God, I just keep fucking bragging.
You're just so healthy, Kevin.
Fuck sport, eat junk food, eat a packet of cigarettes.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, skip school.
Yeah. Okay, this is a thought that I had as a man. As a modern man.
As a modern man.
As a modern
Hot
man.
Take. Yep.
Yes. Harassing women is not on. It's not okay.
That was really bold of you to say, Kevin.
Thank you. I am a hero.
You're so brave.
Thank you very much. You know, and so are women. Women are heroes.
Oh, thank you so much. I was waiting for you to say that.
You know, every woman.
I look in the mirror every day. I'm so proud of myself.
Yep. A-W-A-H. Awa. All women are heroes. But wait till you hear my hot take.
Oh, okay. Yeah. We're not done yet.
No, we're not.
You were doing so
well. That's it. Women are heroes, the end. That's it. That's the end of the episode.
Women are heroes. No. And that's it.
No. As a man, this is what I think.
Yeah.
Harassing women is not okay. Annoying women is so much fun.
Yeah. Do you want to elaborate?
Yeah. Like, all right. I have this bit that I do to my partner every time I'm making soup. And that's pretty often. We are a very soup-based household.
Yum, I love soup.
Shout out to soup. All soup are heroes.
So good.
Asah. A-S-A-H. But I have this bit. Anytime I'm cooking and I've got a ladle, I waggle it at my partner and I'm just like, oh, don't you hate it when society tries to ladle you? And that
that's
joke,
so silly.
It doesn't even make sense.
Yeah.
It doesn't make sense.
No, really, yeah.
But it upsets her so much, and I love that.
One of my favorite things is when you're in a relationship, like, seeing the different pressure points to annoy your partner and just continuing to do that.
Oh, yes.
Is so fun, like...
Oh, num.
I don't know. I try all these different tactics.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, actually... A thing that my girlfriend used to do, and this might be a little bit cruel, is like whenever guys would get really horny, they just try to do things so that they would get turned off. So like
that's okay. Go on.
But just to annoy them and fuck with them. But things
that's so heroic.
But like the things that I would do are like, I don't know, just like stare at them and see what they do and just don't say anything.
I think this is really demonstrating the fact that you went to a girl's school. The idea that a man who is like in the context of like a relationship, the idea that staring at a horny man will somehow turn him off. Your eyes are up there. That's not where I'm looking.
Okay, so I've got a hypothetical,
yes.
Which is that, like, okay, let's say, you know, the human population, they were like, there's too many people and you're going to have to get rid of certain professions and that's how we're going to, you know, do things and whatever. Who would be the first professions that you would kill off?
Look, all right. Me personally, I've never really had a bad real estate agent experience.
Okay. Brag, all right.
But, you know, hey,
you know,
essentially you've been like, Kevin, who would you advocate genocide for?
Which profession would go in this hypothetical
scenario? Which profession? I mean, just real estate agents are very unpopular at the moment, aren't they?
Yeah.
They're very unpopular. Yeah. I'm trying so hard to speak diplomatically right now. Who would you delete?
Oh, I'd kill off social media managers.
Social media managers.
And anyone in marketing. I didn't even think about real estate agents.
What about social media? What is a social media manager and why should we hate them?
Oh, I just think it's a not so necessary profession. You get paid full time to post content. Social media managers, marketers.
Marketers, yes.
Yeah, because they're the ones that are, yeah, they're, you know, doing all the advertising and stuff, but they're also the people that are like, let's make this thing more expensive because more people are buying it. Just stuff like that. I'm like, go away.
I'm very bad at having jobs, which is why I'm in podcasting.
Yeah.
Like, you used to work in an office.
Yeah.
In my head, genuinely, I was like, oh, that means Jenny knows how, like, peanut butter is marketed.
Yeah.
Because you worked in an office once.
Yeah. Honestly, these are both jobs that I have had.
Oh, my God.
So I'm like,
So this whole segment is you have grudges. You have unresolved grudges.
I want to destroy people in a hypothetical situation and
hypothetically.
Increase satisfaction.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Hypothetically, yeah. We would eliminate this entire class of our society.
But also, yeah, sure, real estate agents.
Real estate agents, okay.
Yeah, I mean, they're very popular to hate right now.
They are very popular to hate amongst, you know, most human beings in our country at the moment. But yeah. Okay. All right. In terms of, for me, who... I'm certain that there's some sort of, like, mysterious group of people in a board meeting, succession style, conspiring to make my life worse and extract more money from me in some way that I don't even know about.
That's what they do, yeah.
I just realized that what you were saying is what I was thinking this whole time. You've just given me the name for the phenomenon.
Yeah, that's also my degree, it's what I studied.
Oh God, you're saying you want to get rid of yourself, essentially. You're saying you have regrets. You regret this former self that you were.
Yeah. No, but they're also like, what are they adding? Like, if it was like an apocalyptic scenario also, and we were like, okay, you look utilitarian wise, like obviously, like, you know, you keep the chefs, you keep, you know, maybe even like people in fitness and
blue collar work.
Yeah.
Medical
construction.
Shelter.
And then, you know, the higher you go, like, and then you get to like the airy fairy stuff. Like
marketing or podcasters.
Yeah. Podcasters, yes. Oh, if an apocalypse happened, how far do you think you'd make it? In terms of
how far I'd make it.
Yeah, in terms of
I think the apocalypse is already happening and the marketers are the ones driving it. Boom, there we go. Yeah, anyway. Yeah,
I'd die first.
I was like, you know, like any, this is a very dude habit of mine, but it's just like, yeah, if the apocalypse happens, like, I'll be a badass. But it's like, no, like, I have terrible eyesight. I need glasses and I have asthma. I don't know how to make Ventolin. I'll die. Like, I'm sorry. I don't get to play the cool multiplayer combat game that is the apocalypse. I'm just dead in the first round. I ran out of my inhaler. Yeah. Wah, 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 wah.
I'm just a coward.
Yeah.
You'd
be food.
Hide or, I'd die so quickly.
Yeah.
I get trampled.
On that note, next segment.
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah. I had this moment and I would love to know your thoughts on it. I went to my local Vietnamese bakery.
Mm.
I got a banh mi.
Mm.
And I was walking home from my bakery and I saw a tradie sitting on a bench eating a banh mi from the same place that I got a banh mi from. I waved my banh mi at him. I didn't like wave my hand. I just waved my banh mi at him because we made eye contact. And I just said, yeah, get in there, brother. And he kind of like nodded and then I went home.
Yeah.
And that was the full interaction.
I love that you waved with the banh mi instead.
Yeah, I don't know why I did that. And I'm just saying, yelling at him, get in there, brother, to myself. Like, what? No, he was eating his banh mi and I was just like, eh. And I was like, I don't know why. I'd never, for the longest time, I'd never had like like such a, like a blokey instinct like that.
Yeah, we're eating the same food.
But like the way I said it wasn't even the way I normally speak either, because this is my normal speaking voice, right? It's like, but then I was like, yeah, brother. Like I was just like, what compelled me to do that?
Do you think if he wasn't a construction worker that you would have maybe not done that?
Well, if he wasn't a construction worker, I think I would have had a harder time seeing him there.
Yeah.
Because of the high-vis. Is this just me getting older? Am I reading too much into like a random impulse that fired in my brain?
It's like a, you know, it's a connection. He's got a bun me, you got a bun me. That's how I see it. And then you're both enjoying the bun me.
Thank you for validating this.
Nice.
Thank you,
Jenny. Communal moment, you know, you're both dudes. Yeah.
Dudes with bun me's. No. Is this therapy? Oh my God. No, I'm on a Facebook group called Blokes and Their Creams.
In their creams?
Yeah, it's Blokes Eating Ice Creams. It's like got like, I think like what, tens of thousands members maybe?
Oh, okay.
And it's literally blokes taking selfies of them eating an ice cream.
Oh, that's so nice.
And they say like, oh yeah, I'm eating this type of ice cream. And then all the comments just say, cream on.
In like a...
It's not sexual.
Okay, in a wholesome way?
I guess. I don't even know if it's even wholesome, but I think it's just like... I mean, it's just dudes doing dude things.
Okay.
You know, and there's a difference between dudes, men and guys. But like... But also, it's not even dudes, it's blokes.
Yeah.
And their creams.
Yeah, it's like, good on you, you're enjoying something. Like, this is great, we support you, that's
yeah, fine. It's just like, I don't know, it's this male instinct which I have in me now, which I guess I'm listening to now, I never heard before.
Oh.
You know,
yeah.
People talk about, you know, women's bodies changing, but men change too.
Yeah, men are really deep, three-dimensional beings, capable of eating lots of ice cream.
Yeah.
Have you ever posted on that? Would you ever post on that group with yourself and the ice cream?
Maybe one day if I'm feeling brave.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll work my way up. That's my new goal in life, is to be like, yeah, you know what? I'm going to be a bloke and I'm going to cream.
God. And you're going to, have all these people say cream on to you. That's, I'm like, are you sure it's like not a sexual thing? Anyway.
It's not sexual.
Okay.
It's not.
Okay.
It's not. I know saying it's not sexual makes something sound sexual.
Yeah.
But it also means that it's not sexual.
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes there are like gay blokes on there posting like a couple photos in bed eating creams together, and all the comments will be like, "Oh, cream on, gay blokes," and like, good on them. You know, they're just having a golden gay time after a golden gay time.
And it's never women in there; it's just guys.
No, it's blokes in their creams.
Blokes.
If women want to start their own ice cream Facebook group, then they bloody well can. All right, by cancel culture and political correctness, it's. Yeah, it's just a very strange moment. I'm still processing it. Shall we cream on to our next segment?
God. It's so gross. Anyway.
Yeah.
The word cream is just... Anyway.
Yes.
I wanted to do a throwback to our, nostalgic times and us, like, growing up and stuff.
Yeah.
I grew... Okay, these were my first few parasocial relationships.
Yes.
It was like... The YouTube era, that was like my
whole golden era
life.
Back when YouTube had stars.
Yes.
Out of five, not
then,
thumbs up.
And then you would look at the most subscribed people on YouTube, and that's like how you would discover your content. And then like, and you would form like friendships. And there would be like talking points when, we were in school and stuff, like Niga Higa, number one.
Yeah. Japanese guy, you're not doing a hate crime.
No.
That's just his name.
That is his actual username. Who else was there? There was like, I didn't ever watch him, but like Fred and like Smosh and...
The Annoying Orange.
Ray William Johnson was a thing. In Australia, there was My Chonny.
Yes, who for a long time, I had this complex where I was worried that I looked like him. And then
now
I realized...
No, you say it, I say it anyway, but yeah.
Yeah, because like we have like a tall head and no chin. And part of my journey has been embracing that.
But yeah, no, like all of these people that we've grown up with, and it's just kind of like, I guess, cool and interesting to firstly outgrow that that phase of like nostalgia, but then also kind of like see where some of them have ended up. Like, they were like, I don't want to call them my friends because that's weird, but it's like you would really know their lives.
Yeah, like, it was the first wave of like real parasocial, like, they weren't celebrities at first.
Yeah,
they were just people.
People really looked down on them as like TV
as vloggers.
And yeah,
like when the word vlog came out, people were like, oh, a video blog. Let's call it a vlog. That's an ugly word.
Yeah,
but now it's just kind of like normal.
It's a real throwback. Like Jenna Marbles as well.
Who's
I don't know whether you ever watched Teddy.
Was he like that? Like this, like white American kid, and his voice would be pitched up. No, that was Fred. Teddy, Fred. Just, back when things was just so, like, branding didn't matter. You could just say whatever your name was and people would just watch it because we didn't know better at the time.
Yeah, exactly.
What the fuck's Teddy?
Oh, yeah, he's just this, like, he's this Australian guy who lives in Melbourne. Anyway, I watched him in high school and I, you know, like, absolutely loved his content. And now he does stuff on TikTok and now we're friends. And it's like, oh, cool.
You know, as a friend, but more importantly, as a fan, I really relate to this. But it is interesting, you know. I mean, you know, we've called our pod Parasocial Social Club as a sort of like meta, sort of like self-aware. Sorry, I just started reviewing our own pod during the pod. As like a meta self-aware post content creator.
I give this 5 stars.
I give this a 2 out of 5, but on my burner account.
Kevin and Jenny's chemistry.
Yeah, no,
I'm not a fan of it. I just think it's like cool seeing that, like the evolution and like the different like waves of people and how like essentially now, like, you know, YouTube is like TV.
Yeah, yeah.
And then like it's turned into its like own genre of thing.
Yeah.
But anyway,
like there's certain patterns that emerge from there and that type of stuff.
Yeah, welcome to the Parasocial Social Club. Relationships with us.
What will new nostalgia look like, do you reckon? What do you think Zoomers will be nostalgic for?
I think probably, depending on how content evolves and stuff, probably like, you know, TikTok people or stars.
Yeah, they'll be like, oh, back in the day when I was a kid, just watching these TikToks, laughing with my mates.
In the same way, like, you know how some people have nostalgia for Vine?
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, you remember.
What a throwback.
Our generation kind of used Snapchat and then...
Well, I don't use Snapchat anymore because I'm not, like, I'm a 28-year-old man at time of recording. I haven't touched that app in years.
Yeah, I mean, but like, I always like, oh, it's a dead platform. Who's on this? But Gen Z... Like, yeah, it's the easiest thing to use for them.
Yeah, like my nephew, he's just on like Discord and Twitch a lot, and that's just how he hangs out with his friends.
Mm.
But also, like, he hangs out with his real life friends through that. I don't know if he necessarily consumes like streamers and stuff, but yeah, do you remember when mukbang became known in the West and became known outside of Asia?
Yes.
And so a lot of Westerners were like, what is this? What the hell? This is so crazy. But as Asians, we knew that like just eating with someone is a meaningful way of spending time with them.
Yeah.
And so if vloggers are just friend simulators, mukbang is eating food with your friends simulator.
Yeah.
And like when I grew up playing like video games with my older brothers, but I also totally understand just watching someone else play video games is like, oh, like hanging out with your siblings playing video games or hanging out with your friends playing video games simulator. And I don't even mean that in a dismissive way, like how you spend your time is how you spend your time.
Mm.
But yeah, it's just very interesting. Like at no point of humanity has this been like this, I think. What a profound idea.
What a profound idea. Shall we move on to Advice Corner? We can't emphasize more, don't take this advice.
No, we are not qualified whatsoever.
We're not qualified. If there are consequences in your life, not our fault. So, how to tell a Tinder date that I don't want to be converted to Christian?
Oh, interesting. Interesting. So, this person has gone on a Tinder date or is about to go on a Tinder date. What tense is this question written in?
It just says, how to tell a Tinder date that I don't want to be converted to Christian.
Oh, it's in the infinitive present tense. Okay, just general. Fuck.
I mean, I guess like the topic of religion must have come up and that their date must have said that, you know, like...
But also this person's so hot that this person has been like, that's not a deal breaker.
Yeah.
Yeah.
well, I mean, I guess they must really like this person. And they've had the conversation about religion and conversion and, you know, that, yeah, that person must have said it's...
You're a Christian now. I'm sorry.
Your priority is to get laid rather than your spiritual system of beliefs.
Yeah, yeah. Do not care about your spiritual values.
Yeah, throw them out the window.
Spiritual hygiene. You are whatever anyone else wants you to be.
Yeah, because think about sex. Yeah.
After marriage, possibly.
After marriage.
That's our advice. So the next one is, how do I write my first 5-minute set in stand-up comedy? That's a cute question.
That is cute.
That's cute. It's cute for us because we are practicing comics.
Practice, like we're doctors. I'm practicing the craft of the comedy.
Yeah, yeah. How to write your first 5-minute set?
I mean,
we could talk about this for way too long because
we
are
could,
comics.
But
we,
yeah.
We need to wrap up the episode.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. To summarize, I would say, watch an open mic or just check it out. See, you know,
get familiar with your local scene.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And just kind of, you know, watch what's working, what's not. And then just start writing your own jokes. Never steal jokes. They must be your own jokes. Just write down what you think is funny and then get up on stage and do it.
Yeah. My biggest piece of advice for when it comes to writing your first ever 5-minute set, make sure to write good jokes and don't write bad jokes.
Make sure to write things that are funny.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because remember, the goal is comedy and laughter.
Yeah, you want to be funny. You want ha ha ha. You don't want like yuck.
Yeah, you don't want boo and then no, because remember, you're aiming.
You want to be funny.
Ha ha.
Yeah, and also like it's scary, but look, being scared and being excited are the same wires firing in your brain for the most part. Like, you know, I think that's true. But yeah, I don't know. Have fun with it, I guess. No one's making you do your first 5 minutes of comedy.
The fact that you're asking means that you probably really want to do it and you've considered it for a while, so just go out and do it and make them laugh.
No one's asking me how to write their first 5 minutes, but yeah, that's right, it's whatever. Anyway, all right, do you want me to read the last one?
Yeah, let's go.
How do I make the best of Sydney after I moved here recently?
It's tough moving to a new city and like making friends and like integrating and finding your crew. It's very isolating. I've lived in Sydney my whole life, so I can't.
As have I. Yeah. And if anyone's listening who doesn't live in Sydney, fuck you. To get the most of your, because you're an immigrant, no matter like, I mean, even if it's from another city in Australia or whatever, like learning a big new place is hard. And if you want to like put down some roots, I reckon write your first 5 minutes of stand-up comedy.
And be funny.
Yeah, be funny.
People like funny.
Yeah, yeah. But also, don't be not funny.
Yeah.
But also, like, I mean, figure out how public transport works.
Yeah.
Figure out, I don't know, like, join a club or something, do something. I mean, how does anyone socialize, I guess? I mean, I also will say, one thing that does annoy me about our city is people sometimes conflate it with like the beach and the CBD.
Oh yeah, there's way more than that.
We're a very big suburb. We're a city of more than like, what, 4 million people? And like I've said this before, is my all cities are the same hot take, but you know, like you'll find what you want to find if you look hard enough, I guess.
Yeah, like I know a lot of people that do like when they would go to a new city, meetup groups.
Yeah.
Bumble also has a version that's, I don't know whether they've still got it, but it's like a friend matching system.
Oh, that's sweet.
Yeah, of people that, mainly it is a lot of people that are like, you know, moving from another country or a different city.
Yeah, no, that's lovely. That's lovely. I don't even have anything like snarky to say about that. That's just sweet.
Yeah, 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 yeah. It's, and going through it with other people is ultimately better than doing it alone.
So. Yeah, and this is the thing that I kind of realized that helped me have a much better experience of doing uni compared to high school. But in uni, you know, you're all young adults and like everyone just wants to be friends.
Yeah.
But everyone's a bit scared because they're in a new like social context now. But that urge to just want to connect with people is always going to be there. And also, like, I have friends to this day who I made friends with by going up to them and be like, hey, I don't have any friends in this class. Do you want to be friends? And I still see those guys around.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
You know, like making friends is just don't have social anxiety and be funny.
Just don't doubt yourself.
Yeah, and believe in yourself.
And don't be insecure.
Yeah, and don't be fuggo. Don't be fuggo inside or out.
And don't be not funny, because people don't like not funny.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, I guess, you know, that's how you make the best of Sydney, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it. Cool. That's it for the episode today. All right. Well, thank you for checking out Parasocial Social Club. I've been Kevin.
I've been Jenny.
And we'll see you guys later.
See ya.
Bye.